Okay, let's assume someone lives in a subdivision home as opposed to in a rural area. Can he still get a system where he's got his own electricity through some kind of generation and make it cost affordable for him to buy the unit to do whatever has to be done?
Sure, sure. Let's look at a suburban house that's on grid, all right?
All right.
You got an electric meter, it's spinning.
And boy, does it spin.
And boy, does it spin. And it shows up every month on the bill. If we were to take and put solar panels on the roof, now these solar panels, they can do several things. They can make heat for heating the home or heating water, or they can make electricity directly. These are known as photovoltaic or PV panels. And these are a real technological marvel. They have no moving parts. They just sit there, smile at the sun, and make electricity.
And your roof's not going to leak, right?
No.
Okay.
No, no. You know, my roof doesn't leak, and I have lots of panels up on it. Now, the energy that comes from these panels, whenever the sun is shining on them, they'll make electricity. Here's a fact for you. The average American home has four times more roof area than is needed to make all of the energy to power that home.
For the whole year, you mean?
Yes. For the whole year. That's... Now, obviously, solar power doesn't work at night. It's solar power, and the sun's not up.
Well, and can you store the excess solar power?
You sure can. You can use batteries to do this. And if you're on grid, you can use the grid to do this. So what happens is, the sunlight shines on the modules, typical suburban home.
Okay.
And in the garage, we have a battery bank, and we charge these batteries up first, and then any other energy being supplied by the modules is used in the home.
For that moment, for example?
Yeah, at that instant.
Okay.
And then say you're at work, and the kids are at school, and your wife is out shopping, and nobody's home. So other than the refrigerator and a few things like that, automatic stuff, the house is not using much power. So then the surplus energy can go on the grid. And this is the key feature right here.
Now, when you say the grid, you're talking about the grid that we've been talking about all night, or our own home little grid?
No, the very same grid. We're not using the energy in the house. Our battery's full. Our surplus goes on grid. What happens to it? No, our neighbors use it. This is a very big change from the way things are done now.
It's dramatic.
Instead of having a centralized power plant, we have many, many, many distributed power plants.
Hey, can I charge them for taking my excess energy?
Oh, you certainly can. As a matter of fact, your electric meter will spin backwards. And I've seen this happen on a number of occasions and been there when folks have put in a system like this. And the technical term for it is a utility intertide.
You're kidding me. You mean if you have excess energy under this kind of system and you're feeding the grid, your electric meter will spin backward where your bill may be a negative bill?
Yes.
That's fascinating.
And in 38 states currently, we have what are known as net metering laws. These are state laws which require your local utility, the same folks who sell you power.
And they, don't tell us about this, do they?
No, no, no. We'd be happy at Home Power to tell you about this. As a matter of fact, on our website, we've got a list of all of these laws and incentives, and they're different state to state. The earliest ones go back to about 1982. In Oregon, it took us 3 years to pass ours. It's been in effect over 2 years.
This is one of the neatest things I've ever heard, to be able to generate your own power for your own usage. Of course, we're going to find out what happens when the sun doesn't come out. But to be able to put it back on the grid and make some money doing it, that's neat.
Yeah, well, these state net metering laws, net metering means that the utility is required to pay you what they charge you. So if they're charging you a dime a kilowatt hour, they'll pay you a dime a kilowatt hour.
In some places, I guess, without this law, probably want to pay you less, if nothing at all.
Yes,
right?
They want to pay you There's a federal law called PURPA, 1978, Public Utilities Policies Regulation Act, 1978.
I think I heard Art talking about wanting to have the utilities buy some power from him, and I don't know if they're doing it for the price he wanted or something like that. So maybe Nevada doesn't have this law.
Nevada has a net metering law.
They do.
Oregon does. California does. Washington does. Utah does. New York does. Massachusetts does. There are 38 states now. We're getting them one at a time. But in every single one of these states, these laws have been passed over the objection and against the lobbying of the utility.
Of course.
Yeah, well, they're hanging on to this monopoly, and they're not going to give it up easily. $240 billion a year is a lot of money.
Well, now, generally, in terms of dollars, what do you think the average house could spit back onto the grid in terms of dollars saved by spinning it back?
Whatever your electric bill is, you can save that. In most of these state net metering laws, there's a little clause that says, thou shalt not make any money doing this.
Mm-hmm.
So the best you can hope for in most states is a
wash.
Zero electric bill. But technically speaking, you know, in relation to this recent blackout, this is offering America a salvation to this problem, all right? And it's not going to take $100 billion to pull it off.
No.
What we have here is energy that is produced and consumed right in the same neighborhood, or in a lot of cases, right in the same house. So this energy doesn't travel far on power lines. It lessens the loading on the line.
Uh-huh. And that makes a big difference, doesn't it?
Huge difference. This is known as distributed production. And the other thing going down here is that the utilities don't need to invest buck one in this new generating capability. Homeowners do the investing.
That's right. We're going to spend the dollars for that.
Right. And you get it directly in your home. It's for you, your bucks, your electricity.
What do these batteries look like that you've got stored away, let's say, in the garage or somewhere, in a shed or something like that?
They look remarkably like car batteries, only larger.
How many do you have for a house?
It really depends on how long of a power outage you want to run out, you want to be able to operate during. In a utility intertied scenario, you put energy on grid during the day.
Mm-hmm.
And you take it back at night.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the utility should be happy with this because their peak load
is the day.
It's during the afternoon when the sun is shining.
Exactly.
And so fine. Now, if the utility goes away, like it did just recently, then you have the ability to run your home to the limit of how much battery stored energy you have. Now, on grid, well...
Now, are you going to want to use grid power at all if you have your own system?
Well, that's pretty much a matter of personal preference. You're talking to somebody who's lived 6 miles from the nearest commercial electric socket for the last 33 years.
And you never tapped into it?
No. It's 6 miles away. I don't want to tap into it. When I asked them in 1972, and I had to ask, how much to run the lines out to my homestead, they told me about $280,000 unless there was something kinky going on like mountains or creeks, and in the area I live in Oregon, it's all mountains and creeks.
Of course.
And so I never went back to ask. That rate is probably double. Currently, a solar electric system is cheaper than 1/4 mile of line extension. So if you move 1/4 mile from the end of the power grid, then solar electricity is hands down cheaper than just bringing the lines in. And I'm talking just bringing the lines in for the privilege of paying that monthly bill.
Okay.
You still have to pay the monthly bill.
If for some reason under this system you've got 2 weeks of rain and clouds, do you go back and just use the grid, or is there a different system you could also have as a backup?
Well, you could use the grid if you're on grid. In my case, I'm not. So I store 5 days of energy in our batteries. And it's a big battery. It's about the size of a desk, a large desk.
So you're hoping that you're going to have 4 days of clouds if you're using the batteries. You don't want to go past that too much, right?
No, nope, I certainly don't.
But what if you do? I mean, what?
Then I fall back on an engine generator.